Amen. That was good. Thank you, Don. What a great promise that is, too. Amen. I couldn't help but notice when he talked about our hairs being numbered, several of you looked at me and smiled and think that's kind of funny. You know, really, the hairs being numbered, I think that means, it doesn't just mean he knows how many, which I understand for myself and my father-in-law, he doesn't need a calculator, but he has them numbered. He knows which one is which. You know, there's hair number one, there's hair number two, there's hair number... And the only thing I often get curious about with that is the gap in between the numbers as far as mine are concerned. But anyway, what a blessing. He cares for us, and that is an amazing, amazing thought. Well, here in Luke 11, we have... I like verse 14. It says, "He was casting out a devil, and it was dumb." I thought about calling this message "The Dumb Devil," but and you can put that down as a title. That's fine. But instead, I've entitled the message "Stronger Than Strong," and I want you to pay close attention this morning. Let God speak to your heart. Father, please bless the preaching. Speak to our hearts today, and I pray that you'll guide us and direct us through your Word, through this passage. Help us with it, and if there's anyone here who's not saved, I pray, Lord, that they'll get saved today. I pray for Christians that you will challenge us and let us know, God, clearly again that we have victory over the devil. I pray you bless in Jesus' name. Amen. I like this passage because it's just a narrative of what goes on, and he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. With Jesus, that was a common occurrence. You have to remember that every time that Jesus went someplace, something happened. Amen. And can I remind you this? If you're saved, He's in you. Something should be happening because of you. Amen. I mean, something should be happening because of our lives, because Jesus dwells in us if we're saved. And here he's casting out a devil. And again, this is a common occurrence for Jesus. And of course, the naysayers are all wanting to explain this, and it is a great miracle. Remember, here's a person who was demon-possessed. Here's someone who not only, they were so demon-possessed, they were dumb. They could not speak. This demon had somehow controlled their voice, and many times there were folks demon-possessed. They were deaf. Others had other different issues, and of course the maniac of Gadara was so possessed that he was in the tombs, and they could not control him at all. He was that messed up in his life. And let me just remind you, all that still goes on. Just because you don't necessarily see it as being like it was in the Bible. Well, today, if we see somebody like that, we just give them a shot of something and subdue them and calm them down. But I got news for you. It still goes on today, just like it did in the New Testament time. And Jesus here is kind of like in the Scripture. Oh, and by the way, he was casting out a devil here, and a great miracle is taking place. And those that don't like it, well, they said he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. Jesus obviously is doing a great miracle here, and some people question it. The Bible says others tempting him sought him a sign from heaven. Hello, fellas. God's already doing something great here. What else do you want to see? I mean, here's a guy whose life is a mess. Here's a guy whose life has been ruined by the devil, and Jesus casts out that devil, and now his life is brand new. What more do you want to see? What more do you want? I mean, the greatest miracle in the world is a soul getting saved. The greatest miracle in my life is as a 17-year-old boy, I called upon Jesus to come into my heart and save me, and he made me a new creature. And the Bible says I was born again and born from above, amen, and good night. I mean, what more kind, what better miracle can you have than this miracle that they just saw? But everybody's questioning, everybody's wondering, and they're provoking him here. And he just really dismisses their argument and explains a battle plan here. He says Satan doesn't cast out Satan. Satan doesn't want to leave. He doesn't want his demons to leave a person. He wants them to be captured. He wants them to be in his palace. He wants them to be in his possession. He wants them to be blind to the truth. He doesn't want them to hear the gospel. He doesn't want them to come to church. He doesn't want them to read the Bible. He doesn't want a preacher to preach to them. He doesn't want a soul winner to give them a gospel tract. He doesn't want a soul winner to tell them how to be saved. He wants them to remain in his palace where he has them armed, or where he has them strong-armed and held in his palace. And that's exactly where he wants them. Jesus said, why would Satan cast out Satan? Pretty good argument, really. And he doesn't cast out Satan. And so I want to show you just two points. The strong, that's Satan, and the stronger, that's Jesus. And that's what this passage is really all about. And Jesus takes advantage of their question, as he always did, takes advantage of their questions, and he preaches to them what he wanted them to hear. Oh yeah, the devil's strong, but there is a stronger. I mean, yeah, the devil has some power, but there's one who's more powerful. Well, the devil, yes, certainly, he has his palace, and he is armed and keeps his palace, but there's one who can break into that palace. And there's one who can break in and get the goods out of the palace. Amen. There is the strong, but praise God, there is a stronger. You sit here today and you say, well, I think the devil's pretty tough. He is pretty tough, but there's one tougher. The devil, he's taken down a lot of folks. Yeah, and there's one that's taken him down. Amen. And there is the strong, but there is also the stronger. And number one, we look at the strong. And in verse 15, some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. Well, I believe the strong here is starting in verse 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. That's talking about the devil. And his campaign started many, many years ago, and God had to throw him out of heaven. I mean, he rebelled against God. He rebelled because of his pride. He rebelled because of his desire to be in charge, and he didn't like it, and he didn't like authority. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not saved today, you have to understand that that is your problem. You've done your own thing, and you don't want somebody telling you what to do. But God has every right to tell us what to do. He's God. And God told us, gave us a whole bunch of commandments and said, thou shalt and thou shalt not. And you and I just couldn't keep them. Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I couldn't keep them and you couldn't keep them. And so God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to pay for our sins so that we could be saved. And because God knew we could not keep those commandments. You sit here today and say, good night, I could never be like these people. I could never be saved. I could never be like a Christian. I couldn't live that kind of life. Let me tell you, on your own you can't. That is true. But because Jesus died on the cross, you can be saved. And because he'll work in your heart and your life, you can be different. You can live for God. You really can. But Satan's strong. And Satan has a campaign. And in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they're walking with God. They're having a wonderful time with God. And the old devil, the dumb devil, you know, he started in and entered into the serpent and tempted Eve with the serpent. And Adam and Eve sinned against God. And boy, he's been going at it ever since. And what he does is he gets people and he puts them in his palace, and they're lost and they're on their way to hell. And he just tries to keep them there till they die. And boy, he's working at it. He's strong. He's strong. And you know what? It's interesting. It all started in the Garden of Eden. Doesn't matter how perfect the place. That was a perfect place. I mean, we like to think, well, you know, boy, the world's a mess today. Eden wasn't a mess. Eden was a perfect place. Everything was good. Adam had it made. Eve had it made. I mean, it could not have been a better situation, and they still sinned. Don't get discouraged because you sinned today. They sinned in a perfect place. What you need to do instead of getting discouraged, you need to understand there is a solution for sin. Oh yeah, the devil's strong, but there's one stronger. There is one stronger. And so let's move into this, thinking about the strong here in this story Jesus tells. First thing we see about him is his character. His character. And the Bible simply says in verse 21, he's strong. A strong man. And he's strong. Satan is strong. He's strong because he knows our weakness. He's strong because he's watched. He cannot read your mind. The devil is not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at once. Oh, he has a vast army that is all over the place. But they have a messenger system that is very very good. But the fact of the matter is, he can't read your mind. He doesn't know your heart like God knows you and I. Oh, no, no, but he is still very, very strong because he knows your way. Well, how does he seem to know about me? Because he keeps track. He's got a pretty good file system. He's got a pretty good computer system. And he knows how we've fallen before. That's what's amazing about us sometimes. We'll say, I can't believe I was tempted to do this again. Why? You fell the last time. It only makes sense you'd be tempted to do it again. It only makes sense that the devil, he's out to ruin your life. He's out to get you to mess up your life. It only makes sense that he would come after you the same way. Bible says he comes as an angel of light. He doesn't come as a nasty looking thing like we would picture the devil. He comes as an angel of light. He's not going to, we talked about this the other night and how that the serpent, the Bible says, was a very subtle creature. The serpent wasn't an ugly looking snake until after the sin. That's when God cursed the serpent and the serpent became like a snake. Oh, the devil, he doesn't come looking like a snake. You don't stop and talk to snakes, do you? No, no, no. You stop and talk to something that looks good. You stop and talk to something. You entertain something that looks like it's nice and looks like it's going to befriend you and looks like it's going to help you and looks like it's going to do something for you. And that's how the devil always acts. That's why beer commercials, they always look good. They don't show a man beating up his wife and harming his children and crashing into people and wiping them out on the highway. They don't ever show that. They don't show people laying in a hospital with broken bones and say, hey, drink this and it'll put you in the hospital. They don't tell the truth. They don't tell the truth about abortion. They don't tell the truth in advertising about these kind of things. That's because Satan is always a liar. And he's the father of lies, the Bible says. But he is strong. And he knows our weakness. He knows the heart of man. He knows the heart of man is desperately wicked, the Bible says. And he works to soothe our hearts with our wickedness. And he works to make it all look all right. The devil says, go ahead and have sex. The cure for it is abortion. The devil sold America on that. Hello? Honestly, many, many people think that that's okay. Well, it's birth control. Just abort the baby. And it's murder, the Bible says. But see, that's how the devil has lied. The devil has tried to cover over this AIDS problem. And tried so hard. And the truth of the matter is, there is a solution to that. And that would be a husband and a wife getting married and staying faithful to one another. You don't have to worry about AIDS. But see, the devil, he's got all kinds of other plans. Murder is a cure for anger. Well, you get mad enough at somebody, kill him. That'll take care of it. The devil always has a cure for the things that he knows are going on in our heart. Rape is a cure for your lust. And he feeds all of that with pornography, which is rampant all over our nation. See, he's strong because he knows us. He's strong because he knows how we operate. He can't read your mind. He just knows what we've done in the past. And he knows what you like, and that makes him very, very strong. Makes him strong. And just when it seems like maybe somebody's going to break away from his grip, boy, he knows how to... It's like when I sat in church as an unsaved teenager, and I can so clearly remember God working on my heart and the sweat starting to break out and preachers preaching. And about that time, somebody would whisper over, hey, what are we going to do after church? And they'd start talking instead of paying attention to the preaching, And the guy, what? And all of a sudden, there was something I was thinking about. The devil's he's so good at distraction, so good at getting us off on other things. And here's the soul winner, and they're talking to somebody, and all of a sudden, the doorbell rings, the phone rings. Somebody else walks in the room and disrupts everything. You know what I'm talking about. The devil's strong. I'm going to give it. His character is, he is strong. But then the second thing about him is his condition. his condition. It says in verse 21, when a strong man armed. Oh, he is armed. He has what I call the armor of darkness. Look at Matthew 13, verse 25. You know, he's not just out there with a voice. He's armed. Matthew 13 and verse 25. Notice, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And we've talked about that parable before of the enemy. Here somebody has a big wheat field, and this person comes in and sows weeds among the wheat and literally messes up the crop. And the devil, you know, he's armed. He knows how to do those things. He knows what he's up to. He's got armor, and he uses it for his own purpose. In Ephesians 2:2, look at that real quick. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And I'm telling you, you know, you think about that. That prince of the power of the air, the airwaves, radio, television, internet. I mean, he's the prince, the Bible says. By the way, God allows that. You know, he controls those things. We shouldn't be shocked when the media covers things all wrong. Hello? Right? I mean, I've heard it recently, you know. Well, this story happened and that happened, and the media never said a thing about it. Why should we be surprised? I mean, he's the prince. The devil is the prince of the power of the air. He controls all that stuff. And isn't that what we let affect us an awful lot? Radio, television, internet. You know, it affects us. I mean, he's armed. Don't misunderstand this strength of Satan. He is strong. He is armed. You know, I think about the Christian's armor. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 13. And, you know, the devil, and you'll see this in the end times with the Antichrist. Anti is opposite of Christ. And the devil, pretty much everything we do as Christians, he has the opposite thing that he does. And you'll notice the Christian's armor in chapter 6 and verse 14 of Ephesians. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The girdle of truth is the Christian's armor. Well, with the devil, it's a girdle of falsehood. In other words, everything that we do revolves around the truth of the Word of God. Amen. I mean, we have the truth of the Word of God. And we have to have that truth. When we preach the Bible, we know, hey, that's the truth. It's not a lie. Well, the devil is the total opposite. Everything revolves around lies. Everything revolves around error and lying. The Bible says that he's the father of lies. You sit here today and say, well, I don't have to get saved. I was born in America. Being born in America doesn't get you to heaven. Well, I don't have to get saved. I'm a member of a church. Being a member of a church doesn't get you to heaven. Well, I don't have to get saved. I was sprinkled when I was a little baby. And being sprinkled as a baby does not get you to heaven any more than getting baptized in a baptistry gets you to heaven. Joining this church can't get you to heaven. Driving a bus can't get you to heaven. Teaching a Sunday school class can't get you to heaven. None of those things does God say qualify you to get you to heaven. But the devil will lie all the way through. So many people are deceived by this girdle of lies. The Bible talks about us, our armor, being a breastplate of righteousness. Well, with the devil, it's a breastplate of wickedness. Why a breastplate? That's what guards the heart. But see, our heart is desperately wicked. And he knows that. And the more wicked he can get you, and the more wicked your life can be, the farther away from God you go. The farther away from the truth. You don't even want to hear the truth when you're living a wicked life. I know. I know all about it. And all the way through this armor, there's an opposite armor I believe the devil has. He's armed. Ending up with, we have a helmet of salvation. He has a helmet of damnation. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A helmet of damnation. I'm just saying he's armed. This is a formidable foe. You know what amazes me? It amazes me how Christians, so many Christians today, it's kind of like, okay, all right. I guess we'll just wait till Jesus comes. Take me, Lord. It frustrates me. I'll get to that in a minute. So we have seen his character. He's strong. We've seen his condition. He's armed. Number three, we see his cause. What's his cause? Verse 21, it says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace. He's keeping his palace. He has a palace. And he's keeping that. That's a strong word for the fact he's guarding it. He's holding on to it. He doesn't want anything to happen to his palace. Why? Why? What matters? Because his goods are there. He wants to guard his goods. Again, we go back to the original statement of Jesus' enemy saying, well, you cast out devils by the power of Beelzebub. No. Satan doesn't want his palace ever messed with. Ever. And he keeps his palace. He holds on to his palace. And since it's based on lies and everyone that's in that palace is there because of a lie, let me tell you something. He keeps out the truth as best he can. The biggest fear of Satan is the truth. You know, you come to church, and I sat as a teenage boy in preaching services, and when I was listening, I'm telling you, I was hearing the truth, and I knew it was the truth. That's what's exciting. I'm going to talk about it tonight. I'm going to talk about the conscience. And I'm going to tell you, I knew it was the truth. And I might have got my hymn book out and started flipping through the pages to quit thinking about it because the devil wanted to keep me in his palace. But I knew it was the truth when I heard the truth. And when I heard the truth, my heart started to race and the sweat started to break out. And I got all shook up because I knew it was the truth. You confront somebody with hell out of the Bible, and they know. They know. Now, they'll try to get off on something else and try to get away from it because they don't want to talk about it. I remember I was there. You remember you were there, many of you. But that truth, the Bible says the truth shall set you free. When you know the truth, when the truth can come through, that's Satan's. That's the thing he's going to fight against all the time. He's keeping his palace. He's trying to keep out the truth. Oh, how many times have you heard somebody say, well, I go to church. My wife, soul winning down in Louisiana, and knocked on the door, and a lady comes to the door, and my wife says, hi, we're from Indian Hills Baptist Church, and we're just out telling people about the Lord, and the lady was mad. And Brenda said, well, ma'am, she said, we're just telling people how to know for sure they're going to heaven. If you died today, would you go to heaven? Lady said, I'm a Sunday school teacher over here at such and such church. I've taught Sunday school for 30 years. Brenda said, wow, that's something. She said, but have you ever trusted Jesus as Savior? Lady said, that's none of your business. I don't want to talk to you, and I don't think you have a right to come to my house and say those things. Unbelievable. She's just telling the truth. Why would somebody get all bent out of shape over that? It's truth. You know, in my mind, I see Satan with a pen jabbing her, you know. But more than that, the Holy Spirit was convicting her. See, I remember the Holy Spirit. I remember telling people as a teenage boy, hey, leave me alone. Don't tell me about it. I don't want to hear about all that stuff. Why would I care unless it's the truth? Why are you feeling a little uncomfortable right now? The truth. The truth. Well, I go to church. Well, everyone's a child of God. You ever heard that one? Oh, sure. Sure. But the truth says that's not true. The truth tells you you must be born again. Something has to happen. Just because you're born in America, just because daddy's a deacon, just because daddy's a preacher, just because you're a member of a church, none of that saves. Well, don't you believe that many paths lead to heaven? No. No, I don't believe that. You say, well, you know, that's what's popular today. You know, that's politically correct. But the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he clarifies that very, very, very clear. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There isn't any other way. There's no other way. No other road. No other method. No other way. You say, you're too narrow-minded. I didn't write it. He wrote it. There's just one way. Somebody said, well, I do a lot of good. But if I were to show you the Bible, you'd find out how little good you do. And that's what somebody had to show me when I was a teenage boy. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, the Bible says. Yeah, we really, really don't. I like the one, well, I keep the Ten Commandments. Really, what are they? How can you keep something you don't know what they are? And the truth of the matter is, most of the people in this room don't keep the Ten Commandments. And the devil just does everything he can to keep his palace. Right? Secular humanism, cults, every kind of religion in the world. I'm telling you, he holds on tightly. Tightly. Oh, the strong. He is very strong. His character, his condition, his cause. The fourth thing about him is his company. Because it says in verse 21, his goods. His goods. What are his goods? Every lost soul, that's his goods. Every unsaved person, that's his goods. And he's holding on tight. Everyone who's lost, every religious lost person, every wicked lost person who's a drug addict, who's a prostitute, whatever. Every lost soul, that's the goods. That's the goods. He says to him, oh, you're okay. He says to him, do it later. That's the big one. I fell for that for a long time. Well, I'll do it later. Yeah. Every lost soul. And here's what really bothers me in verse 21. It says, his goods are in peace. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Now that bothers me. I'm going to tell you, that ought to bother every one of us. You know, the devil has no right to peace. No right. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Later on, it's going to tell us about the stronger. I have the stronger in me. There is only one thing that can disrupt the strong man here. And that's the stronger. He has no right to peace. That's our shame. That little portion of verse 21, his goods are in peace, that's our shame. I mean, we are the only ones that can disrupt that peace. And he needs disrupted. He has no right. Well, why do you suppose, you know, in our world today, there is so much wickedness going on? Because he's got a lot of peace on the other front. He doesn't have to worry a whole lot about his palace as long as we leave him alone. Yeah, I think about the papers for the fair ministry. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like the fair ministry. Hello? Why? Because we're attacking his palace. You know, the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That's the gates of hell. Where's the gates? That's at the palace. Yeah, Vacation Bible School, he didn't like that. He didn't like Vacation Bible School. Why? Because we bombarded his palace with the truth. Yeah, I mean, little kids are hearing the truth. I don't know how many little children said, I have never heard that before. And those who don't hear it, it's peace. He doesn't have to worry about it. He needs disrupted, don't you think? Boy, I think so. You know, everybody in this room, you need to, when you walk out of here this morning, see, that's encouraging. I said this morning, and I didn't say this afternoon. You should feel encouraged. You ought to go to our track rack and grab a whole bunch of tracks and let him know, hey, dumb devil, I'm disrupting you. I'm tired of you having peace. Because he does. He has peace all over Adrian. All over Lenawee County. I mean, every now and then, we get him upset, but come on, folks. I mean, he really has a lot of peace in our country today. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But not only does he have peace, they have peace. What do you mean? You know, you say, well, we need to leave people alone and let them go to hell. I'll be real honest with you. I was irritated as a teenage boy when people kept talking to me about Jesus. I still can remember. I've mentioned some of the Christian teenagers in my public school that came to me and they talked to me. Hey, you know, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. You need to be saved or you're going to go to hell. And I got a little irritated. Sometimes I'd cuss them out. You know, don't bug me with this stuff. But I am so glad. I am so glad they kept going. I am so glad that girl gave me that little give Christ charge of your life. Little looked like a MasterCard, and it had a track. And I thought, wow, she's giving me her MasterCard. I just wanted her phone number. Actually, back then, we didn't do phone numbers. Not everybody had a phone. But she gave me that little card. And I thought, hey, I'm getting somewhere. And I turned it around and said, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. Whoa, that's not what I had in mind, you know. But you know, I thought it might be a picture of her. Instead, it was a real graphic picture of me. And I was lost. Are you listening? And there wasn't no peace. I sat at a teen camp with thousands of teenagers. And I sat right somewhere toward the middle of that huge auditorium. And I sat there, and that preacher started preaching, and the sweat was pouring off my face. I'm telling you, there wasn't any peace then. And he preached about going to hell, and he described hell and described how it was for all eternity. And I'm telling you, the sweat was pouring off of me. And I still remember wearing that big old fat suede watch band with the little dangly things right there. And I literally watched the sweat dripping off of those little dangly things. I was that shook up. See, that's what needs to happen, folks. Well, you don't want to run people off from church. Hell is real. And this peace, lost people can just go ahead and live their life and go to hell, and we don't care. Grab you a handful of tracts and determine this week you're going to give those things out and disrupt the devil just a little bit. Stir him up a little bit. Because the people have a false peace. And you know, it's not all right if you're not saved. You're here today and you're not saved. It's not okay. I'm telling you, it's not okay. I don't accept it. Well, you're just going to have to. I understand I have to, but I'm not going to just let it go by as if nothing ever happened. And if you have loved ones and you have people that you work with and they don't have a clue and they're just being lulled into this false peace that everything's okay, it's not okay if they're not saved. It's not okay. And that's why we need to attack his palace. That's how it won't be peaceful anymore. Oh, you know, boy, those unsaved people, they're all shook up. They should be shook up. And we should be the ones that do the shaking. Not our flesh, but the spirit that's within us. Hey, you at work, you're saved. You have Jesus Christ dwelling in you. Don't you understand? He's the stronger. We've looked at the strong. Number two, the stronger. It's Jesus. Verse 22, it says, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him. Hey, he's the stronger. And he's in us as a Christian. He is my power as a Christian. He is the power that when you talk to somebody in the first time soul winning, I watched a guy literally shake the coffee out of his cup. He was so shook up. And I kind of smiled because I remember that was me when I was lost. That's God's power. That's God's power getting into the palace of Satan and saying, these people can be free. They don't have to go to hell. Drug addicts don't have to be addicts any longer. Alcoholics don't have to stay alcoholics. Murderers don't have to be unforgiven. I'm saying they can be free because Jesus died on the cross. Real quick about the stronger, his character. The Bible says he's stronger. He's the creator versus the created. Amen. The Word of God is strong. His work is strong. And though it may seem Satan is too strong, Jesus is always stronger. The Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace, he said in Exodus chapter 14. You'll notice in verse 20, Jesus says this, I love it. But if I, with the finger of God, amen, if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, all he needs is his finger to cast out devils. I don't know about you. I've seen demon-possessed people. And I'm talking about fully possessed people. And all it takes is God's finger. That's all. The Bible talks about the maniac of Gadara. And no man could bind him. They tied him up with chains. And he burst out of them. And the finger of God says, hey, get out of him! Boom! And every demon goes. And they were so shook up, they ran into a herd of pigs. And the pigs didn't want anything to do with demons. Why would you? And the pigs ran off a cliff. They were so shook up. Yeah. The finger of God does that. And I have Him in me. You as a Christian, you have Him in you. Oh, yeah. Whew. The finger of God. His character, he's stronger. Second thing about Christ, the stronger is his coming. It says in verse 22, when a stronger than he shall come upon him. You know, I'm afraid we're just all waiting on the second coming. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I just can't bear it any longer. We're weenies and wimps. The finger of God. And he didn't say, I'll indwell you with my finger. He said, I will indwell you. All of me. And you have all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get when you get saved. The only problem is not how much of him you have, it's how much of you does he have. Because all it takes is his finger. All it takes to have a great prayer life, praying for lost souls, it just takes his finger to get their attention. Just his finger, that's all. Get the demons out of the way so they can hear. Get the dumb devil out of the way. Get the deaf devil out of the way. Get those confusing devils out of the way. And it just his finger. That's all. And they're gone. And then you can tell them the truth. And you have that. Well, I know they slammed the door in your face, right? I know they cussed you out at work. Yeah, I understand. I know they threatened you. Hey, listen to me. You have Christ as a Christian in you. It's the power. Someone sits here today and they came in. Well, you know, I'm not going to do anything. I don't care. I'm not going to pay attention. I'm not going to listen to. And now, right now, in your heart, God's speaking to you. And you're saying, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because I was there. Don't wait until Jesus comes. You say, well, I just can't wait to see him win. See it now. That's what's so frustrating. It's like we're all just kind of waiting. Well, one of these days, Jesus is going to kick the devil. No, let me tell you something. If you would do your part, you'd get to see him kick the devil over and over again. You'd get to see him literally knock the devil down in his own palace, and you go in and take out the goods. Amen. Yeah, the only way Jesus comes against Satan is as you and I do. Little Kathy Moore in here, she's going to go out there to the fair, and she's going to be attacking the palace. Amen. While her husband sits in a nursing home, hooked up to a respirator. Yeah, I think she's kind of mad at the devil personally. You say, "Oh, I'll show him. I'll watch some wicked movie." Oh, that shows the devil, all right. I'll show him. I'll go back to my old music. That'll teach him. Oh, yeah, yeah. Boy, really? No, here's how you show him. You bang down the doors of the palace. And all of a sudden, the devil, "What's all that noise?" Oh, thou wickedness. It's Kathy Morin. What? I thought I stopped her. No, devil, you didn't stop her last year, and you're not going to stop her this year. You stopped a whole lot of other folks, because they used to be soul winners in the fair, but they're not anymore. Ah! That's what I like. I like him going, because he doesn't like it. Yeah. It's time you wake him up at work. You know? Time. Some of you Christian kids in the public school time, you wake him up. The devil, he's got peace right now. He's just doing whatever he wants to do. It's time somebody stirs him up a little bit. His coming, number three, is control. Bible says in verse 22, when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him. Amen. Yeah. You know, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he purchased the spoils. Amen. He purchased the spoils. Says, "He taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils." When Jesus died on the cross, he made it possible for the spoils to get out of the palace. Amen. There wasn't anybody going to go to heaven without Jesus dying on the cross. Do you understand? Oh, no, no. I'll do good. You can't do good enough. No, 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 no. I'll be religious. You can't be religious enough. He had to die on the cross. If he doesn't die on the cross, we all go to hell. I'm just saying, he did it. And that's how I was rescued out of the palace. That's how, if you're saved, you were rescued out of the palace. I mean, Jesus comes along and he dies on the cross, and his people come and they bombard the palace with the truth, and all of a sudden, 17-year-old boy can see. Can really see. His control. And then it was up to me. And you're here and you're not saved. You've never trusted Christ. And now all the garbage of Satan has been peeled away. And now you can see. Okay, it's your choice. It's up to you. It's up to you whether you trust Christ or not. See, before you're blinded by his armor, he's got it. He's got it. He's got a machine going. But now you can see. Now you can see at the armor, or at the cross, his armor was stripped. And I'm telling you, when we carry that truth among lost people, there's nothing the devil can do. Nothing. And that's good old-fashioned gospel preaching. It's in our tracts. Give them out. So I'm kind of an introvert. I don't talk. Give a tract out. You don't have to say a word. Just give them a tract. Everywhere you go. His control. God is in control. The only thing holding him back is us. Because he's in us. And if I don't go and tell people, if I don't go and give people the truth, if I'm not willing to take the truth to all these people, then the devil has peace. And that's why I believe he says in verse 23, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth." And the truth of the matter is, we have the power within us. All we need is his finger to strip away all the garbage that people hear and tell them the truth so they can make the choice. It's their choice. It's always up to you to make that choice. I am so glad to this day, so glad that I made that choice for Jesus Christ. I mean, I labored, I fought with it. Satan pulled and pulled and pulled. You say, well, he knew you were going to be a preacher. He didn't have a clue what I was going to do. He didn't know any of those things. He just knew that I was in his palace. That's why he holds on to you. You're not saved. That's why you know, you've done everything you can to kind of avoid listening. Satan wants to hold on to you and take you to hell with him someday. Jesus made it possible for you to be saved. Christian, I don't understand. I don't understand. You used to be so excited about telling folks about Jesus. When is the last time? When's the last time? That's it right there. Actually, it's probably that one right there. God's little pinky finger. And people are under conviction. And we just remain silent. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.